Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you got to know Him? Aren't you glad you continue to grow in knowing Him? Knowing Him more and more and more. You know, the more you know Him, the more you love Him. The more you love Him, the more you want to live for Him. The more you live for Him, the more you worship Him and honor Him. The more you worship Him and honor Him, the more you want to walk in His plan for your life. Okay, you dropped off on that one. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Here I am on this earth with purpose, with destiny. I came with a purpose. I came with a plan deep in my heart. And I will be the wise man. And I will draw it out because it's in me. God put it in me when He birthed me on the earth. Lord, here I am. To fulfill your plan, to walk in your purposes, which is the fullness of my life. There is no greater joy. There is no joy that could be greater than to walk in your plan and your purpose. Lord, here I am. I am a man after your own heart. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can find your place in 2 Corinthians 13. We will ultimately get over there. I don't want to teach a whole lot as far as teaching today, but you never know. But, you know, I really just want to share some things basically with you today. That I believe God's put on my heart to put on your heart. Amen. And, you know, we've been talking the last few weeks about the Holy Spirit leading us and being our supernatural GPS system. We talked about how Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit when it came to the circumstances with Lazarus. Remember that? And we also talked about that when the Holy Spirit wants to lead us and direct us, that our human will, will reason and wrestle against the leading of the Holy Spirit within our human spirit. But the Holy Spirit yanks on us. The Holy Spirit tugs at us. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us by that still, small voice called the inner witness. Just that inner knowing. Isn't that right? Amen. And we don't want to grieve Him. We don't want to quench Him. But we want to stay fervent in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is God. Not only is He God on the earth, He's God in you. Amen. The pledge that was given to us, the down payment. Hallelujah. Living inside of us. So therefore, our spiritual temperature should remain high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it should always be the devil coming trying to cool you down, not God coming trying to heat you up. We need to stay hot for the things of God. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There are times that the Holy Spirit can ask us to do something, and I'm sure that you have witnessed this and experienced this in life, but you just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted you to do something, but nothing really seemed to come of it. And when it's all over, many times we'll say things to ourselves like, I thought for sure the Holy Spirit was leading me to do this. I don't see why. I don't see anything that's come of it. Nothing's happened. So I suppose I have missed Him. And don't we do that? Sure. And you know, when I used to live in Port Charlotte and I worked at a shop in Port Charlotte, and I would drive to work every day. From my house, I'd come down Edgewater. And I would come to the four-way stop sign at Midway. And I would normally go straight to go to Harbor Boulevard and then turn up to 41 and go to work. So I come to Midway one day, and I just sense on the inside, turn left and go up Midway. So I'm thinking, well, maybe the Holy Spirit wants me to avoid an accident, but I'm not sure. So I'm going to drive straight. And if I get into an accident, then I'll know that was the Holy Spirit trying to lead me. Well, when you're on Edgewater, it's going to be a low-impact accident, and it's just a car, you know. So I go down Edgewater, get to work, no incident at all. A couple days goes by, and I get another on the inside. I've sensed I should drive straight. And I'm like, okay, I should drive straight. Well, the last time I thought I was supposed to go left, and that didn't work out because nothing happened. So now I sense I'm supposed to go straight, so I'm going to go left. And see. And because this is my way of trying to prove of whether it's God or not. Okay. Well, nothing happened. I turned left. I got to work. I went that way, and nothing happens. So one day, I'm driving to work one morning, and I had an old, at this time, this was like in the early 80s, and I had a 67 Camaro, and it was a hot rod Camaro, but the gas gauge didn't work. So I'm on my way to work. It's about 6:30 in the morning, going down Midway, because I turned left at this time. I'm going down Midway, and I run out of gas. And I pull off the side of the road, and I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? It's 6:30 in the morning. You don't want to go knocking on people's doors. I know you got a uniform. It's got the company name and all that, but they're going to think, what are you doing here at 6:30 in the morning? So I'm sitting there. Of course, I'm praying. You know, oh, God, you know. I haven't listened to you the last few times, but I need some help here. And pretty soon, a truck pulls up behind me. And he gets out of the truck and comes over to the car, and it happens to be somebody that I knew. And we used to go to church together. He was in another church at the time. And he says, what's up? I said, I ran out of gas. He says, well, get in the truck. I'll take you to work. And then at lunchtime, you can get yourself a gas can, come back and put gas in the car and get your car. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. You know, we're not in New York. I don't have to worry about it being put up on blocks while we're gone. So I'm like, okay, we'll do that. So we're driving to work, and this is what he says to me. He lives out by the Lake Worth area, if you know that area in Port Charlotte. And he says to me, he says, you know, it's funny. Normally when I get to Edgewater, I turn right. But I just felt inside today that I was supposed to go straight down Midway. I'm like, really? Really? You mean it's not always about me? So, the Holy Spirit could have been trying to use me to help somebody else, but I went the other direction. Or, more commonly, the Holy Spirit will lead you just to teach you to listen. And that was my lesson. He listened. I did not. So the leading of the Holy Spirit is not always for you to avoid a catastrophe. It's not always you to bless your socks off because he loves you so much. It's not always that. A lot of times it's just that he's trying to teach you, because when something important comes up, you got to know how to listen. Yeah. Yep. Amen. Our obedience may very well could even stop something significant from happening. So there could have been something, if I drove straight, there could have been a problem. So I turned left, and it seems like nothing happens. But the enemy could have planned something against me, and it got avoided because I listened to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And only eternity will ever tell us what we avoided by listening to the Holy Spirit. We're not going to know on this side of eternity. Isn't that right? Amen. But he wants to teach us because, you know, a great example of this was, how many of you know Johnny Rivers? And you know John Belushi? Well, John Belushi was in a diner, and just before he left, the Holy Spirit really impressed Johnny Rivers to go witness to John Belushi. And he did, and John would have nothing to do with what Johnny was saying. Well, John Belushi. I'm getting confused here. Too many Johnnies. John Belushi goes home that night and dies. Now, he could have called on Jesus just before he died. But I want you to understand the significance of that witness. Do you think that's the first time Johnny Rivers listened? No. See, because if it was me, you want me to go straight? I'm going to go left. Should I go straight? Should I go? Let me go the other way. You know, we argue with God, and on a situation that becomes dire, there's no time to argue with God. You've got to obey God. So he wants us to learn. He wants to train us and listen to him so that we can know his voice, so that when he leads us and directs us, we'll be able to quickly and accurately obey and do what he's asking us to do. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 13, 1. It says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, this is taken out of Deuteronomy. How many of you know that when Paul was writing the New Testament, or when they were teaching in the book of Acts, the New Testament, there was no New Testament. You understand this. People that say, oh, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. What do you think they taught from? When the Bereans went and checked out what Paul was teaching, where do you think they went? To a Strong's Concordance? To Matthew Henry's commentary? No, they went to the Old Testament and said, oh, there it is. It's in the writings of the Old Testament. Okay? So every fact is to, and in a good study Bible, okay, capital letters like that always points to an Old Testament reference. Or they will have the actual Old Testament reference within that verse. If there's no Old Testament reference, or if it's not in caps in a study Bible, then it was a law of man. Jesus said things like, you have heard of the elders of old have told you. Well, that was the laws of man, because there was no Old Testament reference. Are you with me? And that's why he said, you heard it said, but I'm telling you. Okay. So, every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, this verse actually has to do with church discipline, as well as any accusations made against a minister. You don't throw out a minister because somebody said something. I never even did that in my shop when somebody came against a worker and said, you messed up my car. I would never tell that guy, well, you're done. You need to get out. No, we're going to investigate this. And we'll see if it's so. And every time, my workers were proven right. Because I would not settle for just one witness. Amen. So, church discipline should be based on a number of witnesses, but so should accusations against ministers. But it is also a test for the maturing Christian to be sure that they are hearing and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing, and especially when you're a babe, you know, and I talk from experience. I've been a babe, you know, because you can't grow up unless you were first a babe. You understand that, right? And babe has nothing to do with how long you've been saved. It's about spiritual maturity. Yeah. So when I first started hearing about being taught about the hearing from the Holy Spirit and being led by him, I thought I got it right every single time. I got this. Oh, yeah. I had it. I was deep in it. But it's important to know for sure that you're hearing and sensing in your spirit what the Spirit of truth is telling you. It's important. Isn't that right? When God is leading, he will confirm by a testimony of two or three witnesses. Amen. You know, just last week, and Dean, you don't even know this, but last week I had been working on some of my equipment. I'd gotten some equipment, my guitar equipment, and I was trying to get it all set up. And I had four pieces of equipment, but I could only get three of them to work. And the fourth one was becoming a big problem. And it didn't matter which one I made the fourth one, it would be a problem. So three of them could work, the fourth one wouldn't work, and it was getting a little bit aggravating. And I had a little thought about if I had something or like, you know, they should be able to make this work. Well, at practice last Monday, I was just talking to Dean. And just conversation. And Dean makes a statement about something. And the minute he says it, I'm like, bam, that's what you need to do. I did what he said. You probably don't even remember. And I did what he said and got it all working. Amen. See, because in a conversation, it just brought the answer. Now, sometimes you might hear something in your spirit and you wonder. But God can confirm what you're hearing, and it could be from pastor's teaching. It could be because of a conversation. It could come through a circumstance, through a friend. Now, I'm not talking about a counsel session with your friend. I'm talking about open your ears. I'm not talking about a counsel session or some friend of yours has a prophetic word for you. I'm talking about normal conversation. You know, sometimes we're so darn spiritual, we just miss the supernatural. God's a supernatural God. It's us that wants to be spiritual. That's why you never diet, you only fast, because you're spiritual. Hello. Are you with me? See? That was a very supernatural thing, just a normal conversation with Dean. And that was a supernatural answer that came from God. He didn't stop and go, ooh, wait a minute. I have a word from the Lord for you. You know, come on. You know, again, we're just so spiritual, we miss the supernatural. Or we look for the spectacular so much that we miss the supernatural. Supernatural occurs regularly.
Yes, it does.
Amen.
Amen.
So the Word of God can even speak to your heart. All right? God said one time that he was going, this is back in the early 80s, he was going to bring me a job and it was going to take 2 to 3 weeks for the job to come in. And when he told me about the job, it just witnessed in my heart, really just lit up on the inside of me. Well, about two and a half weeks later, a man comes to me and says, I believe God's offering you a job, wants me to offer you a job. He was a manager of a business. And he says, I believe God wants me to offer you a job. And the minute he said that, the witness on what he said was the same witness that I heard when the Spirit of God said, I'm going to create a job for you. It's the same witness. Now, some people would say, well, good thing that man gave you that job. No, thank God for his obedience, but it's about the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
It's all about the Holy Ghost and always about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit told me about going into business, and that came alive on the inside of me, okay? Well, I had a conversation with my pastor over the next week, and out of that conversation, it was confirmed. Yep, should go into business. And then the time came when I needed to sell my business. And the Holy Spirit said, sell the business. You're going to sell the business. And again, that came alive, it witnessed on the inside of me. And a man came and offered help about selling the business. And the same anointing that when the man said about helping was the same anointing when the Holy Spirit said, sell it. And the business sold. Now, well, that didn't happen overnight, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, none of this happens overnight. I realize that even when you read your Bible, it's like two verses and boom. And that's how we think life is. Oh, I said it, two verses, we should be done. It's like watching a one-hour show on TV about crimes being solved, and yours has taken 3 weeks to get that little, you know, thing taken care of. You understand? It's just not the same. But time don't have to be your enemy. It can be your friend. Well, I don't see how time can be my friend if things aren't working. It's called growing up. Time is all you have to grow up. Amen. And that's what it's about, developing, growing, increasing in the things of God. And without time, you can't. The Word of God can speak to your heart something the Holy Spirit is showing you. Okay? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are exactly the same. There is absolutely no difference. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit, they're all the same. In fact, go over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 7 in the Amplified Bible. 1 John 5, 7. The Word of God is God. The Holy Spirit is God. It says there are three witnesses in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. They're one because they're in perfect agreement. All right, there's three witnesses in heaven. So how many witnesses do you need? He said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Well, two of the witnesses would be the Word and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And notice he doesn't say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because the Son was not from eternity past. The Word was from eternity past. God created a body and the Word became flesh. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of times in teaching, we've taught about the deeds of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. You remember that? It's in Galatians chapter 5. Deeds of the flesh, but then there is the fruit of the Spirit. No matter how we feel, no matter what our emotions are telling us, and no matter what thoughts are running through our minds, the Holy Spirit will not. He will never lead us in deeds of the flesh. Never. This is why he tells you what the deeds of the flesh are. So when you feel like, I think the Holy Spirit's leading me to do this, but there it is. It's in the list of the deeds of the flesh. And that's a real knowing right there. You're wrong. This is not God leading you. It is your emotions. It is your flesh. It is what you want. Are you with me? I have known in the past, on several occasions, people that said to me, the Holy Spirit has led them to a new spouse because they married the old one without God in their life. And this was their reasoning on why they were having an affair. They're having an affair because they're going to wind up marrying this person because the one they're married to wasn't the one they should have been married to, but now God has the perfect pick for them. Just so you know, the Word of God is very clear when it comes to adultery and it comes to fornication. Very clear. And God will never, ever, ever lead you in either of those, because they are not the will of God. Isn't that right? Amen. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to be part of the LGBTQ plus community, because the Word of God talks about it. So, but that's not the sin of sins. See, don't get me wrong, because the Bible also says don't lie. Now, as far as God's concerned, it's all the same. Now, to man, one is worse than the other. Because, you know, man's a goofball, especially without God. But to God, it's all the same. There is no big deal, no difference. It doesn't matter if you're in a gay lifestyle or if you're in a straight adulterous lifestyle. It doesn't matter. To God, it's wrong. You know, sometimes we know some people that's in a certain condition, and we want to shun them, but then we want to welcome other sin. Because there are things that we've considered to be normal. It's just like language. You know, there's some language, not good language, but it's acceptable because you've gotten so used to it. And to you, it's just become normal. It's the normal way of talking, and it's acceptable. But oh, that other language. Oh, we can't take that language until you create that to be normal in your life.
Yep.
And these are things that you hear right now going on. Pumping, pumping, pumping. News, news, news over, over, and over again to get you to think a certain way to where that will become normal. But sin is sin is sin is sin, and you need to keep your thinking on the right side. Isn't that right? God will never go against what his word says. These people that thought God was, or thought that reasoned and said, God's leading me to a new spouse, they're just under a devilish deception because they want what they want.
Yeah.
Are you with me? No matter what your need is, your so-called need, no matter what your need is, or no matter what your emotional deficit is, God will never lead you outside of the will or his word.
Right.
Never.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's even in the Old Testament, you shall not commit adultery. It's in the Old Testament. Isn't that right? Look in Ephesians 4, 28. So I'm just trying to show you that what you might believe the Holy Spirit's leading you to in your heart, it has to line up with the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit are the same. So here in Ephesians 4:28, it says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Now that was a scripture that I really had to get a hold of when I got saved, because I stole. And a hush comes over the room. I know, I'm just such a wonderful, nice guy, you would never think that. But that's the way I used to be. And I had to really get that in my heart. If I steal, I need to stop. Very simply, I need to stop, right? Well, to him who steals, he must steal no longer. To him who lies, must lie no longer. To him that is in a fornication circumstance, you need to stop. No longer. No longer adultery. No longer lying. No longer cheating. No longer bearing false witness. No longer. And he tells us to stop. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
How about this one? No longer being disrespectful to authority. I mean, Ephesians 6 lays that out so well within the workplace about not being disrespectful to authority. And sometimes, you know, we think we have the right. Well, I have the right to.
Yeah.
Well, how many times have you asked somebody about a situation and they go, well, it's complicated. It ain't complicated. There is nothing in life that's complicated. Your reasoning is trying to justify it. That's all it is. There's nothing complicated in life. It's very simple, very laid out, very plain when you're willing to be honest about the truth.
Yeah. Amen.
Hello. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our mind and our behaviors that we're trying to convince ourselves that maybe or somehow, in some way, in this particular case, God was saying it was okay. But that's not how he does things, is it?
No.
There is no exceptions to the rule. If he has already spoken something in his word, he's not going to lead you against it. The God who inspired the Bible will never lead you to do something that's contrary to its teachings. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. The Word of God is the foremost witness of God's leading in our life. Amen? Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. (Clears And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything, say anything. If we ask anything according, the word according is the Greek word kata, and it means to be that which comes down on in a controlling, conquering, dominating way. So if I ask anything controlled by his will, so I have to know his will to be controlled by his will.
Right.
Do you know that that's what that verse means when it says David was a man after God's own heart? It means he was a man seeking after God's will. He wants to do God's will. All right, so to know his will, then you can ask in accordance with his will.
Yeah.
And when you ask in accordance with his will, he hears us.
Yes.
Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know. Say, I know.
I know.
I know that I have the request that I have asked from him.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's his will.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, healing is his will. Tithing is his will. Walking in integrity is his will. Clearly stated in the Word of God. You don't have to pray about it. Well, should I or shouldn't I? You don't have to pray about it. It's in his Word. It's his will. So therefore, we're authorized by the Word of God to walk in these things. Let him who steals steal no longer. Well, God, is that really me? You really want me to stop that? I mean, it's been really beneficial to me. It's been helpful. You really want me to stop doing this? Maybe not. No.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Don't have to ask when it's written right there. It's in your face. You don't have to ask if it's his will for you to be healed. You don't have to ask if he wants you to tithe. You don't have to ask if you should walk in integrity. It's his will. Amen. Amen. The word of God is the foremost witness to the things that you hear within you. The leading of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And we've discussed this over the last couple of weeks about the Holy Spirit tugs on us, can gently pull on us to move into a certain direction. But he will never, ever, ever lead us in a way that goes against his will, which is his word. His word is his will. And you have to understand that and then settle that. His word is his will. By his stripes, it says, you are healed.
Yes.
Except Rob.
No.
Except Joe. You know, I'm sorry, guys, but, you know, maybe you didn't read that, but it was in the footnotes. Your name, you know, you're in the exception. No, there are no exceptions. Just like getting saved. Whosoever will believe will receive. Isn't that right? Amen. Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay? He'll give you desires. In other words, that doesn't mean, well, just jump up and shout and sing some songs that worships God, and he'll just give you anything you want. Everything you ever wanted, he'll just give you the whatever your desires and all, he'll just give you what you want. No, that's not right. It means that when you spend your time delighting yourself in the Lord and living before him, he'll start to drop desires inside of your heart. And you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, I'm speaking to God secrets, mysteries, and desires. Isn't that right? So as I'm speaking in tongues, the desires of God that's in my heart can become known to me. Because when I pray in tongues, I should pray to interpret. Now, you don't have to interpret it right there when you're praying it, you know, because your mind comes out with some stuff now. But, you know, you just, okay, I'm praying in tongues. So I'm going to believe for that interpretation to come. And it just, something becomes known to you, and it's those desires he's put on the inside of you. Amen. You know, when I had the opportunity to go into business, okay, my heart burned with that desire. There was never really a goal in life, but it became a desire because of the ministry benefits this was going to have. So in my spirit, it was burning with desire, but my flesh was shaken with trepidation. But I had to settle on the fact, this is going to be great. This is really going to free me up in the area of ministry by not being tied to somebody else's time clock. You understand? When I first got born again, a man witnessed to me. He had witnessed to me. And then he tells me that I had a call of God in my life. And then the first time I go to church, the pastor tells him that I have a call of God in my life. So, of course, he comes and tells me what the pastor said. Well, I refused that. I was not going to listen to that stuff. I wasn't even going to consider it. But in my heart, I knew it to be the truth. But I'm like, nope, not me. No way. And I find that of most people that are called. They're with the nope, not me. Most people that aren't called is like, yeah, that's me. Glory to God. Give it to me. Yeah, it's not you. But when I got born again, I developed a hunger for God. When I first got saved, my first revelation at the moment I got saved was that God loves me and Jesus is alive. That was the first revelation. And right after that revelation came my first decision. God, I have served the devil with 100% of my life. That's the minimum I will give you for the rest of my days. And a great desire started to build up on the inside of me to read his word, to study the word, and to dig into the scriptures. And I spent money. I had to buy study material. And that study material through the years has just continually, I still buy study material, and it's just continually increased and increased. And I put in effort, I spent my time, and I spent my money to grow and to learn, because I had a burning desire in my heart. And to ignore it, it would have become like a fire shut up in my bones. And that was just the witness within my own heart. And as time went on, the church that I was in, the pastor would confirm some of those things. I never shared any of it with anybody. But then he would just confirm some things. There were times that he would just point at me and say, thus and so. I'm like, yeah, I knew that. And it confirmed it. That's why sometimes our spiritual leaders are also a witness. You know, just like my pastor in my life, you know, told me about the call of my life, on my life. He witnessed with me about the leading to go into business. I have had through the years folks come to me for counsel. And this is not the norm, but I've had some folks come to me for counsel, but they were very biased to begin with. And they were not hoping to hear anything except what they wanted to hear. And you can't hear the will of God unless you're opened. And to be open to the will of God, many times you have to admit, I'm wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. You always have to admit, I'm wrong. Believe me, I've had many of the I'm wrong moments. When I was a young babe in ministry, you know, you could be saved for years and then step into ministry and you're starting in babyhood. Because every step you take with God, you will start off in the babyhood stage all the time. And I would hear seasoned ministers get up and talk about how they plan things. And I would think, planning? How unnecessary that is. If you knew the Spirit like I knew the Spirit, you wouldn't have to do any planning. Just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, huh? And at the right time, you'll know what to do, and boom, on the spur of the moment, it'll all get taken care of. Yes. Did I say babe? Did I say that? Yes, babe. Yeah. So as I grew, I realized how foolish that thinking was. Because on the other side of our mouth is, the Holy Spirit shows me things to come. For what reason? To prepare. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. It took me a while, but I finally got a hold of that. He shows you things to come. You could prepare. Well, how do you prepare? Prayer. You know, you got to prepare your path with prayer. You prepare your path with faith. You prepare your path by using the assets that you have. You prepare your path by sowing seed towards those things. And you prepare. Amen. I had, and I've told you this before, but the man stood up in the pulpit for 3 years before I got it. 3 years I heard this. If you can't pay full price for a suit, you will never take a city. Well, if you can't pay full price for a suit, you will never ... anything for God. You won't do anything purposeful in the kingdom of God if you can't pay full price for a suit. Because it's not a matter of what you can afford. It's a matter of what you can receive. And you'll never receive on a spur of the moment unless you've been sowing seed, planting, and developing faith in that area. Are you with me? This is important stuff. It sounds like kind of nuts and bolts, but that's what life is about. It's not a matter of what you can afford, but what is your faith level to what you can receive? I knew people that told me they would believe in God for $1 million and didn't have the faith level to receive $500. Well, how do you know they didn't? Because they never did. Don't get quiet on me now. But spiritual leaders impacted my life and helped me to develop and to grow. How many times have you in your own life dealt with stuff, talked about stuff, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God in the pulpit decides he's going to tell you and let you know he heard it?
Yeah.
Amen. Another way, circumstances. Now, let me just say this about circumstances. Circumstances like dreams are the lowest level of receiving direction for a born-again, spirit-filled believer. It's not that God can't, but it's the lowest level. And how many times do we judge circumstances? If things are going smooth, it must be a green light. Everything's working good. Oh, if things are going hard, oh, God must have slammed that door. And there's no truth to either one of those. Because, you know, the devil could have you running headlong to a door and it's up on the fifth floor and there's nothing outside, you know. And once you hit that door, you're going out. But you had a green light to go through that door and boom, there was nothing on the other side to hold you up. But then there could be another door that you need to get through, but the devil's on the other side barring that door and holding it. But you're like, well, I guess God closed that door. Well, you know, if God wanted me to go through that door, he'd remove the devil. No, he wouldn't. That's your job. You're the one that has authority on the earth. You move them. Jesus said, if you knock, he who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, and that word knocks means to beat on a barred door. God is not barring that door. He's not barricading your way. It's the devil that's doing that, and you need to beat on that door and beat him off. Now, you do it by the power of God. You know, it's kind of like this, all right? How many of you remember driving cars without power steering? Yeah, boy, that hurt. You know, you could forget about quick turns, tight spots, and all that stuff. Well, now we have power steering. Well, now that you have power steering, have you quit steering?
No.
No. The steering is there. The power steering there is to assist you in what you do. And that's the Holy Spirit. Doing things by the Holy Spirit is to assist you in what you are supposed to do. He's not there to steer it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, whether it's a green light or a slam door based on circumstances is not necessarily God. Because Paul was on his way to Rome and he perceived in his heart, this voyage is going to be with damage. But the centurion wasn't persuaded because the weather, one of the reasons was the weather started to line up and started looking good. Oh, good, we got a green light to go. The weather has straightened out. Well, it was the weather just straightened out enough to get him onto the water so the devil could try to kill Paul. That's all it was. You know, what's the first thing that we do when circumstances look like a green light and everything's going good? What's the first thing we do? We quit paying attention. And that's when the enemy moves in on you. Because he set up the circumstances and he knows if I just let them go this way, they'll quit paying attention and boom, I'm going to get them. Amen. So again, no matter how the circumstances look, the bottom line is always, what is the Holy Spirit saying? You've always got to hear from the Holy Spirit. And you need to know the difference between hearing from the Holy Spirit and being directed by the Holy Spirit as compared to being directed by our obstinate, thick-headed thinking. Being obstinate is not God. And being thick-headed or pig-headed doesn't mean it's God. Well, bless God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this. And No. You're over there with manual steering. And the Holy Ghost is trying to give you power steering. Amen. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Yes. Romans 14:23. See, and I can say that very easily because I know what it's like to be obstinate and thick-headed. And if you need a witness to that, my wife's right here. It's like the time we had a timeshare back in the early days of timeshare. What a catastrophe timeshare is. My goodness. So we bought a timeshare out here at Fisherman's Village. What a wonderful move that was. You know, we're sitting down with the salesperson, and we're looking at each other thinking, you know, this could be good for the church, and maybe the youth people could use this, and maybe this would be beneficial. So we get spiritual, and we tell the salesperson, we need to pray about this. He's like, okay, I'll go step over here. And we're like, okay, we got it. We didn't pray. We didn't do nothing. But it was spiritual and nothing supernatural worked. So we got into the timeshare. And after a while, it got hard making the payments. And I felt this in my heart. Give back the timeshare to the bank. And I said, you get behind me, Satan. I'll tell you what, I started on this timeshare and I am not quitting. I'm paying this. I'll take care of this. Oh, yeah. Well, it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And again, here it comes. Give it back to the bank. And I'm like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So now I'm giving it back in the red. I could have gave it back when it was in the black, but now I'm giving it back in the red, so now it's going to affect my credit, which I had none to begin with. Are you with me? Where were we? What were we talking about? Huh? Oh, that's right. That's an example of being pig-headed, obstinate, and hard-headed, and thick-headed, and bless God, this will work. Manual steering. I could get in that parking space. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you get out of the car, your muscles are like that big. All right, let's go on. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. You know, it's amazing. We talk about living by faith, and we're like, well, how do you live by faith? Well, there's a good example right there. Eat by faith. Whatever's not of faith is sin. So faith can be a witness also to the things of the Spirit. Why? Because many times when the Holy Spirit is leading us, it's going to usually require an increase in faith. Because when the Holy Spirit leads you, your faith will be challenged. This is why when the Holy Spirit leads us, we're like, I don't know. You know, and we hem and haw about stuff and we don't want to, because it's going to require an increase of faith. Now, of course, if you're a baby running around in diapers, you know, no, until you start to become a toddler, and then God's going to start requiring some maturity and growth. Isn't that right? Amen. So our faith is going to be challenged when the Holy Spirit is leading us. Faith is going to be stretched. The existing faith you have is going to be stretched. And there's going to be a need to grow. The Holy Spirit is never interested in us staying right where we're at. It's all about growth. You know, we, both sides of this building, okay, we worked on this side first, and then we worked on the two-story side afterwards. But remember, if you can't pay full price for a suit, then you will never build a building or whatever else God wants you to do. Why? Because if money is holding you back, how can you ever believe God? If you can't believe God for the money to buy a suit, yeah, well, I don't need that suit. Get off yourself. It's not about you. And who cares whether you can afford it, can't afford it, want it or don't want it? That's not the issue. The issue is moving on with God. If I can't believe God to pay full price for a suit that I'm wearing, how am I going to believe God for the things? If I can't believe God for, let's say, $200 to buy a suit that I found, how am I going to believe God for $50,000 for a building?
More than that.
A lot more than that. Yeah, I wish it was $50,000. I'd be living in Thailand. Are you with me? If you can't pay full price, then you'll never anything for God. Because you haven't developed faith for an area that means nothing. How are you ever going to develop faith for something that's got pressure on you? That pressure will squash you. And you know it's true because it's happened too many times. And I never understood this when I first got saved. And they would say, believe God for a pair of socks. I'm like, why would I believe God for a pair of socks? I just go buy a pair of socks. This is not about the money. It's about learning to receive. Because if you can't receive the money for the suit, you can't receive the money for a building. You can't receive for the money for a car. You can't receive the money for repairs. You can't receive the money for a city. You can't receive the money for an outreach. You can't receive the money for anything. Because once you step into the public arena, pressures will multiply greatly. Are you with me? See, God is not only interested in blessing you. He's not only interested in using you, but he wants to transform you and mature you in the process. Remember the process in 2 Peter chapter 1, faith to virtue, to knowledge, to perseverance, to self-control, to perseverance, to godliness, to brotherly kindness and love. That's the growth process every single time we believe God for something. God wants us to grow. He wants us to transform from strength to strength, to grow from glory to glory, to move from faith to faith. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So when God requires, when God asks you to do something, it will always require faith. Always require faith. Think about the Red Sea. Israel at the Red Sea. You think Moses stepped up there on the rock and go, I got this. Let me put this staff out there. You think he was, you know. You think when Joshua was facing Jericho, he's like, yeah, boys, these walls are going to fall down. We got this. We got it. have a cup of espresso. The walls will be down in a minute. You think when they were standing at the Jordan and Joshua didn't have to get up the courage to say, okay, guys, you guys with the ark, the minute you step into that water, it's going to divide. See, back then, if it didn't, you stoned. Yeah. I don't mean you're high. I mean you dead. Because that's the way it was. If the prophet's words didn't come true, curtains. Isn't that right? See, when God asks you to do something, it will always require faith. When I had a burning desire in my heart to get into the Word of God and start getting study material to get a hold of some stuff, I didn't have the money and I didn't have the time. I was busy working, busy doing side work. I had quit stealing, so I had to work extra.
Yeah.
So I've got my time's pretty much taken up trying to give time to the family. And you had all the church stuff going on. And I didn't have a lot of extra time. I didn't have any money. I had less money than I had time. So it took a stretching when God, that gets put into you about getting a hold of material. So I have to start developing faith and start believing God to be able to get a hold of the money in order to get the material. Are you with me? Because what does Hebrews tell us? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say impossible. Okay, now, God's the same. He never changes. So don't think you can do it without faith and we'll just make it work. Well, I don't need that faith stuff. Then God's a liar. And if you don't need the faith stuff, then you don't care about pleasing God.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, it's simple. He's made it simple. Nothing is, hard or complicated. Thank you. Nothing is complicated. It's very simple. So remember what God said. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Okay? Some folks just want the Holy Spirit to lead them to what they want, what they like. It requires no faith, no money, no effort, no time, and no growth. But then again, nothing is accomplished for the kingdom, and you get no benefits. You know, let me just say this to you. I could say it right. Let's just use this for an example, a vacation. If I'm believing God for a vacation and I get a vacation, that's all I get. But if I'm believing God to walk in His will and do what He wants, that vacation can just be a side thing.
Yes.
It's a side benefit. See, this is why you look at people in the kingdom and they seem to be increasing and increasing and increasing. And you look at other people and it seems like they just can't seem to get by. Because the people that are increased are focused on what God wants them to do. And the blessing of their life is just a side issue. Whereas the people that are having the problems, that thing is their main thing. And God's not the main thing in their life. And they have no side issues or they have no side benefits. There's no overflow in their life. And we ought to have overflow in our life. But the overflow comes because we just obey God.
Yeah.
Do what God wants us to do. You've heard people say things like, well, you can't outgive God. Right? But yet, within the Christian community, it seems that when people increase on the things of God, it's like they got a problem. And yet all they're doing is living on the overflow. You could be worth $20 million, but that's the overflow of the $600 million you gave away. You understand what I'm saying? And that's where we need to learn to live at, in the overflow.
Now, we know what the Word of God says about blessed going in, blessed going out, you know, prosper in the work of my hand, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and all those things. Well, that's there for you to get in your heart and get in your mouth so the devil can't steal from
right.
you.
Right.
That's all that that is. Because it starts off by saying, if you are willing and obedient to listen to and hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all he says, then the overflow of your obedience is blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the work of your hand, prosper in all that you do. See, that's the overflow of your obedience of doing what God wants you to do. Whereas to many people, that's the main issue. And they can't seem to get through it, and they certainly don't have an overflow. Now, you may have never heard that before. Well, it's time to take hold of it
yes.
and get that working in your life.
You,
and you'll find that in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28 very clearly tells you that. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or right ways of doing things, and all these things will overflow to you. They'll just be added to you. Stop. You don't have to run after them. You don't have to seek after them. They'll be added to you if you just seek first the kingdom. Put God first. Run after God instead of running after his stuff. His stuff comes with him. You don't have to run after it. Because in Timothy it says, they that run after money, they will pierce themselves with many a pain. Because that's the main focus of their life. And there's no overflow. And they can never seem to get enough. Just telling you what the Word says. The Word is the witness to what you think. It tells you whether what you're thinking is right or whether you need to change what you think. Right? So, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. So, if all the witnesses say yes, you got a green light. You have a confirmation from God to move forward. If several of these voices say no, you need to proceed with caution. You need to watch. If most of them say no, most likely you got a red light. Don't go that direction. It's a warning that you need to stop. Now, many of you right now are in spiritual ears classes. But spiritual ears and things that you learn in the classes is only one way that God can lead you. Now, even though it's one way that God can lead you, and in the process of learning it, you learn how he leads you in every area, but that inner witness is one way that he leads you. But we've seen that there's a lot of witnesses. And if he is leading you within, in your inner man, then you need the other witnesses to confirm what you're being led into. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, even though it is one way, it doesn't mean, well, I don't need that way. Yes, you do.
Yes.
Otherwise, God wouldn't have done it. It's like, what is that verse? Oh, there are three that remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Oh, see, the greatest is love, so I don't need that faith and hope stuff.
You need all of it.
You need everything.
You
know, don't let your adornment be the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, or the putting on of apparel. Well, you see, you're not supposed to braid your hair. You're not supposed to wear gold. Then you shouldn't be wearing clothes. It all goes in the same verse. You can't be cherry picking. So it's not like one or the other. It's all. You know, bodily discipline is only of little value, but godliness is of great profit for this age and the age to come. Oh, see, bodily, we don't need bodily discipline. He didn't say you don't need it. He said it's little value compared to the eternal value of godliness, because bodily discipline will come to an end when you step out of that body. And if you don't discipline it, you might be stepping out sooner than others. Just saying. Amen. So, spiritual ears is a major step and a major thing to learn, but it's not the only thing. God is beckoning you to come into his will
and into his plan for your life.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And you may never have done that before. But if you'll choose to do that, and part of it is just asking the Holy Spirit to, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll put desires in your heart. That's all. He'll put those in you, and as you pray in tongues, all of a sudden things will just come known to you.
Yeah.
Amen. And stepping through that door, it's kind of like when you got born again. When you got born again, there was a decision here about Jesus being Lord of your life, right? And on this side of decision, you couldn't even see why. But you got to the point in life where it was like, I need to. And once you made that decision, you got over here and it was like, oh. Well, then you're on this side of decision and it's about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know why I need to. I mean, I'm saved and that should be good enough. And, you know, we don't have to have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you can go to heaven without him quicker. Well, whatever, you know. But what I'm just saying is that the Word of God, Jesus wouldn't have said it. It wouldn't have been in red if he didn't say you ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That this he said of the Spirit to those who already had believed that they should be filled with the Holy Spirit. So on this side of decision, we're like, well, I don't know. But once you make the decision and you step into it and you go, ah, I see. So on this side, it could be like, well, I've been existing. I mean, I've been living. Things have been going pretty good for me. I mean, I don't know if it's a thing about God's plan, purpose. I mean, I don't know, you know, because you can't see it because you haven't made the decision. But once you make the decision, it'll be like, ah. I see. And it's like moving out of watching a black and white TV to Technicolor.
Amen.
And every time you make that decision with God, you step into an amazing life. Amazing life. See, how does life become more and more amazing? See, this is why God's interested in your growth. Because every time, you've got to make decisions for that growth. You've got to make decisions about faith. You've got to make decisions about the direction you're going to go. And every time you make that decision, you step into another step of life that can become more and more amazing. So don't let those things within your own self, your own flesh, your own emotions talk to you, lead you, and direct you. But be directed by the Holy Spirit and receive the other witnesses of the Word of God, of spiritual leaders, and different things that God has set for us so that we can hear accurately.
Amen.
And obey more clearly the steps that we need to take and what he would have us to walk in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Lord, you alone are worthy of all praise. We bless your name, Most High God, Everlasting King. There is none like you. You are the Eternal One, the Glorious One, the Mighty God. We worship you. We honor you this day and every day. We thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you that we've moved beyond information into revelation, into impartation, so that it becomes application into our life. And the applying of the truth of your word into our life is what makes us free. We thank you for that, Lord. We bless you and we praise you for that. Lord, I thank you now that as we come before you with our giving, I thank you that we bring our tithes, we bring our offerings, we sow our seed. And Father, as we do, it is according to your word. You said that every time we bring the tithe into the storehouse, that you will open the windows of heaven for us and pour out a blessing till there's not room enough to receive it. You rebuke the devourer for our sake so it won't destroy the fruits of our ground. The vine in the field will not cast its grapes before its time. You said there's one that gives and yet increases all the more. You said that as I sow my seed, that it's given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that others will pour into my bosom. Lord, we declare these things only so the enemy cannot steal our harvest, cannot steal and destroy our crops, but we will take hold of that which belongs to us because we are the sower and we cry out for the harvest that belongs to us. We thank you for it and praise you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. If you need an envelope for credit card or cash giving, there's one on the seat back in front of you. If not, you can just raise your hand. The ushers will serve you. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. If you joined us on live stream or podcast, wherever you may be online, thank you so much for being with us today. And I do pray that the Word of God has touched you, brought you beyond information into revelation, that you receive impartation of that Word, and it produces application into your life. If you'd like to sow seed into the ministry, go to our website, newlifefamilyworship.net, click on the giving link. And I thank you in advance for the seed that you sow. If there's anything at all that we could stand in prayer with you about, please let us know. It is always an honor and privilege to pray with you for your needs to be met. Amen.